I remember when he sent out the information about this 50th anniversary, and oh my goodness, as soon as I heard that, I was just so thankful that God allows me to be a part of it, amen? And man, this place is something else. And I have a sneaking suspicion, preacher, there's a lot of people peeking over the banister tonight, amen? I don't know how God always allows it, but I think there may be certain times God says, hey, come here, I want to show you something, amen? I think there's some looking over tonight, and they're here with us, of course, and cheering us on, as the book of Hebrews tells us. Amen. Well, I was walking the property here a little bit earlier. It's been a while since I've been back. I preached in chapel a few months ago, but I didn't really get to go around the property. A lot of different things have happened since I've been here last. Amen. And there's a new bell tower over there. There's some more walls that got moved around the basement somewhere, I'm sure of it. And I was taking one of our guys I brought with me tonight and showing him, like, yeah, man, this room used to be that. See that hole in the wall that's drywalled over? That used to be a door, you know. And as I was walking around the property tonight, you know, I spent a good portion of my life here. But you know, preacher, I did something tonight on this property I've never done before. In fact, Brother Reno Likens he always say, when's the last time you did something for the first time? Well, tonight was the night, amen. You know what I did on this property I've never done before? Used a port-a-john, amen. I've never done that on this property before. So that box is checked, amen. That box is checked. All right, very good. Well, we better get into the Word of God tonight, amen. And so let's take our Bibles and let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I'd been praying about for a long time the message God would want me to bring for us tonight. And me and Brother Clanny were talking before the service. And, you know, sometimes as a preacher, you know, you got to dig the truths out. I mean, that's what the Bible says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You got to dig those things out, and praise God for that. All right, keeps us as preachers where we ought to be. But you know, every once in a while, God gives you something, and man, it just flows. Amen. It just comes through, and you know it's God moving, God working, and that's the message. That's how it worked for this message I'm going to preach tonight. And God's given me several confirmations since I've been here on the property that this is exactly what He wants. So by His grace and help, I want to bring this to you tonight, Luke chapter 6, and I'm sure we're going to carry on the custom just because we're not over in the auditorium building. But let's stand for the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. Give you a chance to stretch your legs for just a minute. Luke chapter 6, we're going to read verses 46 through 49. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 49. The Bible says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the streams beat vehemently upon the house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, built an house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you meet with us tonight. Holy Spirit of God, we invite you into this service. We want you here. Lord, I already sense your presence. I know you're here, God. The fellowship of your people, the singing of your praises. Lord, now as we turn our attention to your word, God, would you meet with us? Would you speak to us, God? Would you help us, Lord? I pray, God, that you would do what you always do, Lord. Use your word to encourage us, to exhort us, Lord, and make us what we ought to be for you. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This passage right here, several truths, of course, can be taken from this passage. But to me, one of the greatest truths that I read about this, and I believe is the crux of the teaching Jesus was teaching, is the importance of a foundation. The importance of a foundation. I remember back 18 years ago when the foundation of the school building over there was being prepared to be poured. In fact, I remember I was down in the trenches helping tie wire and setting plywood forms as we were preparing for the day for that concrete to come in and pour the foundation. Some of you may remember you were present here some 40 years ago when the foundation of that building was poured and the foundation of that building was laid. And I think we all understand this, but a structure is only as strong as its foundation. And when I think of Blessed Oak Baptist church and the things that's been accomplished over the last 50 years, I believe the reason we can celebrate is because of the foundation that was laid. The foundation that was laid, right? The foundation that was laid, sure. By the way, when this church was founded, it was founded upon the right kind of things that a church must have in order to be successful for 50 years. Now, I chased that number 50 through the scripture, and the Holy Spirit showed me some things that I want to correlate to the 50th anniversary that's being celebrated this week. And here's the title of the message tonight, Five Foundations of 50 Years. Five Foundations of 50 Years. We'll get right into it tonight. I won't have you turn to all the scripture, but we'll turn to some of it. Take your Bible tonight and flip back to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And we read here, of course, is the story of Noah, God giving him the command to build the ark, and God gave him down to the very minute detail how God wanted it done. By the way, God still does that today. Amen? He tells us how he wants things done. And you know what? If we're going to build what God wants for us to build, we better do it God's way. Amen? We better do it God's way. And Brother Noah did. Brother Noah did it God's way. By the way, just because we're here means he did it his way. Amen? But look at verse 15, if you will. And here's what the Bible says. In chapter 6 of Genesis, verse 15, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Notice now, the breadth of it, 50 cubits. And the height of it, 30 cubits. You know, I got to thinking about that. And why was it that God wanted Noah to build that ark 50 cubits wide? And that leads me to my first point tonight, and that's this, the foundation of stability. The foundation of stability. You know the width of that ark? You know what that represents? It represents stability. Right. Amen? Stability. Now, I'm no shipbuilder, all right? And I don't spend a ton of time on the water. I'm a landlubber. Amen? That's what I am, all right? But you know what? I am from Southern Indiana, and because I'm a Southern Hoosier, I've done what most of us Southern Hoosiers have done from time to time. I've been canoeing, amen? I've been canoeing. And I don't even know if we ought to go there about some of our famous, or should I say infamous, canoe trips down through the history of Blessed Old Baptist Church, amen? I remember the first canoe trip we went on. I'm going there, man. I'm going there. And by the way, the first and last canoe trip, okay, when Pastor Robert Ross was pastor, amen? Because that day, instead of canoeing, it turned more into a search and rescue mission, amen? I remember Brother Jack and Pastor Ross, man, Pastor Jerry Ross, they were, and at the time, you're a teenager, you're oblivious to it, especially a teenage boy, you know, you're paddling around everybody and trying to tip over the dorky junior hires, you know, and we're just paddling around doing our thing. Now, I was kind of wondering why Pastor Jerry and Brother Jack were so exasperated at the end of the trip. Well, it's because, you know what, there's about five teenage girls who are almost drowned on that trip. Amen? Man, you talk about a crazy canoe trip. I remember the time I was youth pastor, and Pastor Ross wanted me to plan an activity for the young people, for the family. And, you know, I thought, man, you know what, we haven't done in a while. Of course, by this time, Pastor Robert Ross is in heaven, so I figured it's safe to do it again. Amen? Let's go canoeing. Well, duh. I guess I thought that when we went canoeing in July at Turkey Run State Park, we'd be the only ones there. And you talk about a miscalculation. Let's just say we weren't. And let's just say not everybody dressed like an independent Baptist, amen? I had so many apologies to make after that trip. You think the reason I started White River Baptist Church is because God called me to reach Gibson County, amen? The real reason is because I got fired as a youth pastor for all the stupid things I did, amen? Good night. It's a good thing we're not writing a book about that stuff. Now, why aren't canoes very stable? I'll tell you the answer to that is they're not very wide.
Yeah, come on.
Now listen now. Width equals stability. By the way, the reason the ark could make its way through the wind, rain, and waves of the flood is because its width of 50 cubits made it stable. Let me tell you what I think about when I think of Blessed Oak Baptist Church being here for 50 years. I think of the word stability. Stability. Stable in its belief. Stable in its family. Stable in its preaching. By the way, that's how God God expects it to be. Amen. God doesn't want us being blown and wind by every blowing around the wind in every way the wind blows with false doctrine. Hey, God doesn't want us to be unstable, double-minded. Amen. As the waves of the sea, God wants us as His people, especially His church, to be stable. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. How can we not read this verse tonight? 1 Corinthians 15, 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The life verse of our beloved Pastor Robert Ross, who I believe is watching us tonight. Amen? And when I think of the foundations of this church of 50 years, I think of the foundation of stability. Number two, let's look at another passage tonight. Let's go to Exodus chapter 26. Exodus chapter 26. Just read a couple of verses to you here. Of course, the context of this has to do with the construction of the tabernacle. Verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, Exodus 26, 50 loops shalt thou make in one curtain, 50 loops shalt thou make in the edge of the curtain, that's in the coupling in the second, that the loops may take hold one of another. And thou shalt make 50 tatches of gold, and couple the curtains together with the tatches, and it shall be one tabernacle. And then down in verse 11, and thou shalt make 50 tatches of brass, and put the tatches into the loops and the couple the tent together, that it may be one. Now these verses, of course, are referring to God's instruction to His people to build that tabernacle in the wilderness. Right now on Thursday night, we have a Thursday night instead of a Wednesday night service, and we are studying through the tabernacle. I figured since our church, Lord willing, next year is getting ready to go through a building project, we ought to study the different building projects throughout the Bible. Amen. Let me tell you, many things can be learned from the tabernacle, but one of the main purposes of the tabernacle was to be the place where the priest served. And the second foundation I think of when I think of Blessed Hope Baptist Church is 50 years of service. 50 years of service. Amen? I mean, folks, that is one of the key foundations this church was built upon. From the very first bus, Friendly Freddy, amen? To everyone that ran yesterday and will continue to run until Jesus comes. To the Sunday school classes, the nurseries, the children's church, the Wednesday night kids clubs, the Christian school, the nursing home, Operation Occupation, Operation Think of That, and on the list goes. You know what those ministries are about, church? They're about service, amen? Service. I'm so glad the 36 years of memories that I have being a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church revolved around service. You know, some of my earliest memories as a kid was visiting with my dad on Saturdays and riding the bus on Sundays. My dad taking me to McDonald's for an ice cream cone after a long day of visiting. Riding in the very back of the bus and agging my dad on, hey, hit that bump faster so we can fly up as high as we can. Amen. Brother Brewer mentioned it tonight, amen? Vacation Bible schools. Let me just say this. He wasn't the only one walking that gauntlet, amen? Right? I remember getting my head shaved. I remember getting tarred and feathered with chocolate and rice. I remember eating a goldfish. You want to remember that story, amen? It's so crazy, okay? I can gut a deer. I have no problem with blood and guts, but I got this weird thing about food, okay? Certain foods, if I smell, I literally want to hurl, okay? Baby food's one of those things, all right? And my wife hates it, but I can't even hardly stand the smell of leftovers, all right? I know I'm weird. I got some weird things going on, amen? But the goldfish, when it came day to eat goldfish, man, I couldn't do it. So Pastor Jerry's like, well, if you're a big enough chicken, you don't want to do it, go up there and get a carrot, carve a carrot down, and from a distance, it'll look like a goldfish. Amen? Yeah, I'm not ashamed to admit. That's exactly what I did. Amen? Didn't eat a goldfish, but hey, I ate a carrot. Amen? On and on the memories could go. Missions trips to Mexico. 1995. I was 15 years old. Pastor Jerry's like, we got to go on a missions trip. Amen. Your first year as youth pastor, man. Let's take a bunch of teenagers out of the country, all right? And you know what? That's what we did. Loaded up in a couple vans that, truth be told, shouldn't have been going across the county, let alone the country, right? But you know what, man? We did it. Amen. Loaded up here. Drove all the way. First night, I think we drove all the way down to Oklahoma City. And we drove, I still remember it, Tucumcari, New Mexico, amen? And then from Tucumcari down to El Paso. In fact, this I know God confirmed this message tonight. That song Brother Denny sang, It's Still the Blood, one of those vans we took, in fact, it was my dad's van, had an outside speaker, okay? CB radios, all right? Nobody had cell phones back then. It was all CB radios, all right? 10-4, good buddy, you know? And CB radios, and on my dad's van had an outside speaker. And I told her, hey, guys, look at this. We had an outside speaker. Our theme song for that trip was the song he sang tonight, It's Still the Blood, amen? And we'd go through those towns, eating at a restaurant, we'd crank that tape player up, amen, and put that microphone right next to the speaker and blast as we drove down those streets, It's Still the Blood, saves from sin, amen? Remember those things? I remember going down and meeting with missionary Carlos Demarest. Talk about a man of God, amen. Man, he was a legend, amen. Meeting with Brother Demarest and sitting on those buses, hearing him sing, praise the Lord and shame on the devil, amen. Let me tell you, folks, what good memories. You know what these things are about? You know what they revolve around? Service. Service. By the way, service to the one who deserves more than we can ever give. You realize the word servant, service, and words relating to that are found over 1,300 times in the Bible. Here's what I tell my church. If God says it once and he put it in his eternal inspired word, it's important. But if God repeats something over and over again, you know what he's saying? Hey, you dummy Christians, get it! Get it! Hey! Be a servant. John chapter 12, here's what Jesus said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it into life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. When I think about the 50 years of this church, I think about the foundation of service. Number three, we're still there in the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 23, go there. Leviticus chapter 23. We see the next foundation. The next foundation. Let me read a couple verses to you here. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 16. The Bible says this, even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days. And ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. And then you don't have to turn there, but Leviticus 27, verse 3. And thy estimation shall be of the male from 20 years old, even unto 60 years old. Even thy estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver. Over after the shekels of the sanctuary. If you read this passage, in Leviticus, these verses have their context in the different sacrifices that would be brought at different times. Right. When I think of that third foundation this church has been founded upon for 50 years, and we read about those 50 days and those 50 shekels, I can't help but think about the foundation of sacrifice. Right. The foundation of sacrifices. It's very difficult to separate what we just talked about with service and the word sacrifice. You see, folks, they go hand in hand. That word sacrifice, you know what it means? It means to slaughter. It means to kill. Truth be told, you will never be able to serve God the way he commands you to, the way he deserves for us to, if we aren't willing to sacrifice, kill, and slaughter some things. By the way, three times in the Gospels, almost verbatim, Jesus said this, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Hey, he's talking about death to self, death to our dreams, death to anything that would keep us from following the Savior. When I think of the 50 years of blessed hope, there's no way you can think of it without thinking of sacrifice. Hey, just the fact that we're having this week of meetings means some people had to sacrifice some things. Now, this is real and dear to my heart because I've personally experienced the sacrifice of this church. Whether you realize it or not, church, and we don't even have time to get into all the stories, but there are a whole lot of people in Gibson County that are thankful for the sacrifice of this church. By the way, it's just not what this church sacrificed to see White River Baptist Church planted in Princeton. It's what the people in Bloomfield, man, Brother Clanning, Jasper, amen, Brother James, hey, Montana, amen, Brother Derek, hey, Greenfield, amen, Greenfield, and Florida and Rhode Island and Kentucky and Illinois and Alabama, and God help us, even California, amen. They get a bless. They get to be blessed because of the sacrifice of this church. Think about what's been accomplished through the 50 years of sacrifice. There's no way we can calculate the eternal impact this church has had, because people believe there's a God worth serving and an eternity worth investing in. I like how one of a missionary that came through, and here's what he said. He said, every Christian ought to be busy about investing in their ERA. Now, we know what an IRA is, an individual retirement account. But here's what he said. Hey, why don't we as God's people get busy investing in our eternal retirement account? Yep. By the way, that's what a whole lot of people have sacrificed to do these last 50 years.
That's right.
Genesis chapter 18. Let's flip back over there. Genesis chapter 18.
Good, brother. Good. Good stuff.
I was going to kind of do these in chronological order as far as the books of the Bible go, but God switched around my point there a little bit. Genesis chapter 18, we know this story, amen. This is where Abraham is interceding for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we see verse 24 and 25 as he begins to understand, and God begins to reveal to him Jesus in his pre-incarnate form there, as he comes to Abraham in the Old Testament. He's having a conversation with the Lord, and he begins to tell him about how that he's going to destroy these cities. And we know what happens, right? Verse 24 and 25. Here's what Abraham says. Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from me to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, that the righteous should be as the wicked. Thus be it far from me. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And then we see in verse 26, and the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare the place for their sakes. I don't think it's an accident here. Of course, there are no accidents in the scripture. Amen. It's all given by God for a reason. I don't believe it's an accident that Abraham started with the number 50. And I believe this correlates perfect to what's been the vision of this church since its birth in 50 years. And that's the foundation of soul consciousness. Soul consciousness. Why was your church started in 1973 in a living room and then a garage? Why, from its near inception, has red buses been running up and down the streets, towns, county roads, the highways and byways of this community? Why are there events like Vacation Bible School, youth revivals, missions trips, nursing home services, children's church, and the list could go on and on? Why has this church in the last 50 years invested, and I'm not exaggerating, millions of dollars in church plants, evangelism, and missionaries? There is only one answer to these questions. I think all of you know what that answer is, and that's the eternal souls of mankind. You see, folks, there's only two eternal things on this planet. Number one's the Word of God, and number two are the souls of mankind. And I think those are the things, as Christians, God wants us to be most invested in. Jesus asked this question in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We've read that verse. We've heard that verse. But let me tell you what's interesting when I begin to look at that verse are the verses around that verse. The context of those verses. The context is sandwiched in right between where Jesus is commanding his disciples to take up their cross and follow him, and also talking about our rewards, our works being rewarded by the Father. Let me tell you what I believe Jesus is trying to say here, that the marks of a true disciple, the reward of a true disciple, revolves around the importance of the souls of mankind. I know it's 2023. I know all the stupid surveys that say soul winning doesn't work anymore. I know it's supposedly said that people don't want to hear anymore. I've heard the excuses of the backslidden, lazy, cowardly Christians that don't want to open their mouth and talk about the Savior. But I got news for you, folks. God in 2023 is still in the soul-saving business. Amen. I got the prayer chain text from yesterday about the two souls that were saved. God allowed us at White River Baptist Church in the last 4 weeks to see five people accept Him as Savior. Through all the ministries represented by all of the different Christians from different churches and the other different servants of God's here, I guarantee you souls were saved within the last few weeks. You know why this is true? Because God's still in the soul-saving business. About a month ago, me and Jeremiah were working up in Vincennes. I still work a couple days a week with my flooring trade. And we were doing a floor for a guy. And as I always do, folks, listen, amen. It's not just about making a little money. It's about God opening doors for ministry. Amen. Almost everywhere I go, everybody knows I'm the preacher. A lot of my work comes from Menards. And when I'm at Menards, all the people there know that I'm the preacher. And they're always telling people, hey, if you want your job done right, here's a preacher who does stuff. He'll come and do it for you, make sure it's done right. So going into jobs, people know I'm the preacher. Well, I began talking to this man. His name was Gary. And he started opening up to me a little bit and began pouring himself out a little bit. And it didn't take long before we turned that conversation right back where it ought to go. Amen. I began to witness to him and talk to him. And, you know, he just kind of sit there and he listened. But then all of a sudden he changed the subject. By the way, that's not a bad sign. That's a good sign. When people change the subject, it means something's going on inside. Amen. And I told Gary when I left, I said, Gary, if you ever need to talk, here's my number. I want you to call me. And his wife said, you know what? I think he probably does need someone to talk to sometime. He probably will call you. 2 weeks ago, Thursday night, we were having our midweek service, and we had a fellowship after the service. And I was sitting around fellowshipping with my people, and my phone rang, and it was Gary. And so I try to, you know, I don't always just take a phone call if I'm in the middle of something, but I knew I was supposed to. So I went back to my office and I shut the door and I said, hey, Gary, what's going on? He says, I'm not doing good. He says, there's some stuff going on in my life and you said I could call and talk to you. Can I talk to you about some stuff? I said, Gary, let me ask you this, man. Does it feel like there's a big hole in your heart that nothing can fill? He says, that's exactly what it feels like. I began to talk to him about the Lord. I said, Gary, remember what we talked about a couple weeks ago? Remember how I told you that Jesus Christ loves you and he wants to save you and he wants to fill that place in your heart with himself? Hey. Man, I could tell he's under conviction again. He says, you know what? He says, I'm going to come visit your church sometime, but I got to go. I said, Gary, wait a minute, man. Wait a minute. He's like, well, why don't you call me back on Monday? I said, Gary, you're not guaranteed tomorrow, let alone Monday. I said, Gary, what would happen tonight if you die without Jesus Christ? The Bible tells what's going to happen. You're going to split hell wide open. I said, I'm just going to ask you one more time, Gary, because I'm not here to make you do anything. Would you like to ask Jesus to save you? He says, I would. Amen. And right there on the telephone in my office, Gary got saved. Amen. And listen, folks, that's just one of many stories that we can share as we allow God to use us to reach people for Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm so glad this church was founded upon, not upon a social club, but soul consciousness. I'm not against doing social things. We do a lot of it, folks. But let me say here, that's not the main thing. We got to keep the main thing, and the main thing are the souls of mankind. Let me tell you, this church has been founded upon that foundation. The foundation of stability, the foundation of service, the foundation of sacrifice, the foundation of soul consciousness. And last of all, take your Bible, go to 2 Kings chapter 1. 2 Kings chapter 1. I found another interesting mention of the number 50. And God showed me a truth from this passage here, 2 Kings chapter 1. The story is of Elijah. And he faces down the messengers of the wicked Ahab's son, Ahaziah, who was just as wicked as his dad was, and who's now king in Israel. And Ahaziah wanted to speak with Elijah, and he sent some people to Elijah. And I like what it says in verse 7. Notice what it says. And he said unto him, talking to his servants, what manner of man was he which came to meet you and told you these words? I relate to verse 8, okay? And he answered him, he was an hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said to Elisha the Tishbite, hey, I'm wearing a leather belt tonight. Amen. I got a little hair going on. All right. Not here, but here. All right. I'm not trying to sound Elijah. I'm just trying to relate to that verse. All right. But verse 9, then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him and said, behold, he sat upon the top of an hill. And he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, "If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50." And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. By the way, that happened twice. Until finally, the third captain came and had enough sense to humble himself before the man of God, and his life was spared. Here's the fifth foundation, the last foundation we're going to talk about tonight, that I believe is one of the five foundations of 50 years. And that's the foundation of the supernatural. The foundation of the supernatural. You see, we see something significant attached to that number. We see a supernatural miracle of Elijah calling down fire out of heaven. By the way, let me help you just for a minute. There's nothing wrong with or abnormal about in your Christian life experiencing the supernatural. In fact, there is something wrong if you don't. I'm going to make some of you real nervous right now. I had interaction with the spirit world today. By the way, I believe in ghosts. By the way, I'd even go so far to say is I'm possessed by one. Now, it ain't dead Aunt Susie or Uncle Charlie. The ghost I'm talking about has a first name, amen, and it's holy. It's holy. Hey, we communicated today. I talked to him. He revealed some things to me. In fact, right now I can feel him burning in my heart. Ephesians 5:18, "And be not drunk with wine as excess, but be filled with the Spirit." John 4:24, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." When I think about the memories I have of this place of the last 36 years, I can testify as an eyewitness to a front row seat of the supernatural miracles of God. We could talk about God's supernatural provisions. Many of you don't know this, but you realize the property we are sitting on right now. I mean, this geographical location of this field, okay, is a supernatural miracle that we're even sitting here. For years, Pastor Robert Ross wanted to buy this property. For years. But the guy that owned it didn't want to sell it. And you know what? Prayer was made. By the way, in the process of all that, you know what this church was to that man? A good neighbor.
Yeah, that's right.
A good neighbor.
Right. Good.
You know, it's amazing. If we don't get all of a sudden what we think we want to get from people, we start treating them a certain way. But you know what it was? It just wasn't God's timing yet. And by the way, finally, in God's time, in God's way, allowed that transaction to happen, and you don't even know it, but this sitting right here under this tent on this property is a supernatural miracle of God. I think about the building over there. And I think about how that God allowed that building to be built debt-free. I think about all the different things we can look at and see around here and think of all the supernatural miracles that we've seen God accomplish over the 50 years of this church. But to me, the greatest evidence of the supernatural isn't a piece of ground, isn't a building that's debt-free. By the way, I'm thankful for those things. Amen? We need those things. But the greatest evidence of the supernatural is the miracle of a transformed life. I look around this room tonight, and you know what I see? I see a room full of supernatural miracles of God. Everybody's got a story. By the way, your story is just as important as the person sitting next to you. Testimony after testimony about the supernatural transformation that God has done in your life. And I could tell you a story tonight. I could give you an illustration. But instead of giving you an illustration, I brought with me a breathing illustration of a supernatural miracle that God has done in a transformed life. Come on up here, Brother Jeff. Brother Jeff is one of the men from my church. Amen. I'm not going to steal his story. I'm going to let him take a couple minutes and give it to you. By the way, he's got a long version, short version. This is the short version. Amen. Amen. But I want Brother Jeff to just take a couple minutes and tell you his testimony of the supernatural miracle, what God's done in his life.
All right, my name is Jeff Whitlow, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I'm a recovering alcoholic and a drug addict. You know, when I was young, I never fit in with any other people. So when I was 12, I started drinking and smoking cigarettes. When I had my first drink, it made me feel like I fit in. This is my path of destruction. That's when it started in my life. I became a liar, a cheater, a thief, and a bully. When alcohol was not doing the job anymore, I started smoking weed. When I went to college, I found meth for the first time. I thought this was my fix at all. I was wrong. This did not last very long. It also stopped working. Then I found heroin and started shooting up. I was lost in this world, and I would sell drugs to fund my addictions. In 2020, I tried to commit suicide by overdosing and putting a rope around my neck. God broke that rope and saved my life that day. I checked myself into rehab, went to church the first Sunday I was there. The preacher that was there knew everything about me, and I've never met him a day in my life. He told me God sent him there to talk to me. I got saved on this day. I know what my purpose in life is now is to help the addict that still suffers with addiction. Amen. And let them know what Jesus Christ has done for me, and he will do the same for them. All they have to do is ask for forgiveness, receive that forgiveness, and believe that he died on the cross for them. Jesus and God broke my chains of addiction. If you have not been saved, and you can do this today before it's too late. I am also the head chair of my NA group. And I sponsor people in recovery in NA. It's a great start, but I can tell you that the real recovery is in Jesus Christ. I am now 3 years clean and sober. God helped do for me what I could not do for myself. Recovery is not easy, but God will help you through it. Jesus Christ gave me the gifts of strength, honor, love, growth, hope, fulfillment, victory, reward, freedom, healing, closure, and security. Got something else to tell you. After I got saved, that first thing the devil did is he tricked me into a whitewashed Bible. You know, there's only one Bible, a King James Bible. I was carrying this whitewashed Bible around thinking I was doing the right thing because I wanted what Jesus was giving me, you know. But then I got wrapped up in a whitewashed religion that was teaching out of that piece of junk Bible that man changed it to whatever he wanted to say, you know. Then I got the truth, you know. Here's the best part. It took me 50 years to get my walking with Christ where it is today, you know. It took me 50 years. There's my 50 years into it. But I'm going to close with the serenity prayer tonight. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. Taking as Christ did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. And Brother Jeff is very burdened about starting, and we're in the process of, Lord willing, getting this going very soon, an RU program. And he talked about being involved in Narcotics Anonymous, and that's been a door God's opened at our church. They have meetings at our building, but we get to preach to them, minister to them. We've led over 30 people to Christ in the last year and a half through our church hosting those meetings. But you know what? I like what Brother Jeff says. He says, you know what? You know, it's not NA that they need. They need Jesus Christ. And you know what? We're going to, with God's help and through the leading at the right timing, we're going to start an RU program. They say about a reform is unanimous. You got to have the right guy to lead it. Well, God brought me the right guy to lead it. Amen. And you know what that is? That's a testimony of a supernatural miracle to transform life. The young people, you listen to me tonight. You don't need to experience what Brother Jeff experienced to experience a miracle from God. Hey, your life is just as miraculous by staying away from that stuff as someone that God saves out of that stuff. Amen? And I'm glad when we look at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we look at the history of the last 50 years. Man, I'm glad, listen, folks, there's people from all walks of life that God has saved. There's people just like Jeff that God saves out of the gutter. But praise God, there's people that God has saved, young people who hasn't messed up their lives in that junk yet. Amen? And every single life is a supernatural working of God. Now, church, it's been an amazing 50 years, has it not? The foundation of stability, the foundation of service, the foundation of sacrifice, the foundation of soul consciousness, the foundation of the supernatural. Hey, it's worth taking time to rejoice over and celebrate. But as Brother Denny said, it ain't over yet. As long as there's breath in our lungs and blood pumping through our hearts, there's a job that needs to get done. Last time I checked, folks, not everybody in Jacksonville saved. Hey, Princeton has a lot of lost people that still needs to be reached. There's a lot of souls that still need the Savior in all of our Jerusalems and Judeas and Samarias and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We still got a job we got to do. Amen. That's not the official theme of my church banner. My official theme came from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 2, 21. Prepared unto every good work. Amen. That's what I'm preaching on this year. But here's my unofficial theme that I say all the time to motivate our church with. And I want to leave this with you tonight. Here it is. Let's hit it and get it till Jesus comes. Amen? Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Thank you, God, so much for all that you do, all you have done. Lord, by faith, what we expect you're going to do if you tarry. And I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord, to, yes, take these foundations that this church has been built upon, but God, continue to build, continue to go forward, continue to take ground, and keep on going till you call us out of here. We love you. We thank you. We ask it in your name. Amen.